week, our church is so full, we can't really keep the capacity there safely with 6 foot distancing. But what I missed that I saw this morning was kids dancing up here this morning. Amen. And we need that. Amen. You can clap for that. Oftentimes we can look at children and be reminded of how maybe we should look at our world and look at our circumstances. Dance in the midst of the rain. Dance in the midst of the storm. Amen. Dance because why? You feel like it. The presence of God was here. The music was moving and God was filling them up. And what can they do? They had to dance. I got to do something about this, right? Oftentimes we get weighed down as adults and we also forget to be childlike. And I'm reminded, church, and may you be reminded this morning, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must what? Have faith like a child. This sounds weird, but church, be a little bit more childish in the good sense. Amen? Just a reminder this morning. Thank you for the reminder this morning, children dancing. Thank you for bringing them up because they wanted to. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, worship team, tech team. Thank you, greeters and ushers. Thank you, security team, for keeping us safe. Thank you, everyone that's involved this morning. My name's Pastor Harris, if you weren't here in the beginning, or maybe you watch online, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And I'm excited to bring God's word to you today. I pray that it blesses you today, it encourages you, and maybe it's a reminder of something that you once knew, or maybe it's a fresh thing this morning. But I want to say this, that God gives us strategies to partner with him. Amen? We sang about it multiple times this morning about partnering with God. God gives us strategies to partner with him. He shows us this throughout the entire Bible. Think of all the characters that you love in the Word, right? God partnered with those people to see his kingdom come and his glory shown all over the world, right? God partnered with those people. Amen? See, God gives us many ways in how we can win supernatural victories in our lives for his glory. Last week, we partnered with God through praise. Amen? Who was here last week? Say amen. We partnered with God through praise and proclaiming his word over our current situations and over our nation. Last week was powerful. Oh, the anointing of God was so amazing last week. Amen? I mean, it was, whew, God shook some things. Last week, we fought in the supernatural. And chains fell off many people. And I believe chains will even fall off today as I'm preaching. Amen? You need some chains to fall off, receive God's word, and let them just shake right off like they were barely even there. Amen? Church, if we're going to see God intervene in a collapsing society, in a devastated and divided nation, then we're going to need to partner with him in what he is doing. Amen? 5 people agree, and they're all right here. Everyone else thinking about it. It's all right. I pray by today, you're going to want to partner with God. God has policies. God has mandates. God has principles. God has ways of doing things to see his kingdom reign and his glory shown on earth. It is his way, not our way. Right? Y'all can go to Burger King later and have it your way, but right now it's God's way. Praise God. It's on Edgewood. Okay, it's just down that way. Amen. Who doesn't like a Whopper? Anyway, come on now. Okay, praise God. See, we partner with God. Scripture makes it clear. We are workers together. Y'all want to get biblical? It's called co-laborers. Amen? We are co-laborers with Christ Jesus. I think that's where the church has lost it. We forgot that we're partners with God, co-laborers with him. We expect God to do all these things, and he's like, hello, I've equipped you. I'm waiting on you. This is the age of the church. The Holy Spirit is here. He's moving. We have been and we will continue to pray that God will heal our land. Amen? Amen. But we must also partner with God to heal our land. That's how that works. Humble yourself. Well, God doesn't have to humble himself. Who does? Well, that's where it starts. But we forget we need to partner with God. When we are a part of the partnership, see, when our part of the partnership with God wanes, that means when we don't fulfill our end of our responsibilities, we don't change who God is, but we might change how God works. Because when partners stop dealing with the partnership, they break the way the partnership was established to work, the way the partnership was established to run, the way the partnership was established to operate. The way you lose your partnership with God is when you stop doing and being who God has called you to be. We stop doing what he's commissioned us to do. See, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 18 in the NLT, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Amen? Do all that, who can? You can. So who's reading it? You. You reading it. He's talking to you. Okay, he's talking to me too. All right, amen. When you read it, it says, do all that you can. It's just jumping off. Do all that I can to live in peace with everyone. I've titled today's message, Fight Peacefully. Amen? How you doing? I said, yesterday, my daughter, I love, she's so quirky and she's silly. She gets a lot of that from my wife and I, but yesterday she was slow-mo punching me. And I was like, no. And we just kept doing it over again. She'd punch me. So it's just super fun to have fun. Sometimes you just need to break away from the mess and just have fun, amen? Just enjoy the little things in life. Fight peacefully. This morning, let's talk about another one of God's partnerships we find in his word. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5. If you want to open there today, you're more than welcome to. That's where major amounts of where we're going to be, or I'm going to be preaching from today will be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says this in the NIV. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen. Blessed, blessed. Blessed, blessed. Who wants to be blessed? Don't just say it, want to feel it, want to experience it, want to be a part of it. Who wants to be blessed to be a blessing, right? Who wants to be so blessed they got to bless somebody else? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen. See, I don't know about you, but it's very hard to see the United States of America as the divided states of America. And I'm talking about on more subjects other than just our current presidency. So many memes, if you don't know what that is, Google it later, memes, have come out this month. Funny and not funny. Memes about things pertaining to fighting and stress and fraud and confusion and conflict. We are all witnessing. It's just blasting everywhere, these memes. See, conflicts can be stressful and painful. Amen? Who likes conflicts in here? Say hallelujah. Right? See, conflicts at their worst can become violent and destructive. Yet, conflicts also have the potential to lead us into a powerful spiritual encounters as well. Matthew 5, 9, Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. See, peacemaking is not the same thing as peacekeeping. They're not even close, actually. See, oftentimes this verse that I've been reading, I just read twice, has been mistaught and misunderstood. Jesus has not called his church to be pacifiers and appeasers who just endure the fight or ensure that nobody gets upset. Peace, right? We make Jesus such a hippie, man. Peace, bro. Came to bring peace. No, Jesus came to bring a sword. Say what? I just took a left turn. Followers of Christ are not called to keep the peace or ignore difficult issues or ignore difficult problems and make sure that all things remain stable and serene. God has given his church a responsibility and an opportunity to partner with him to expand his kingdom by being peacemakers. See, if out of apathy we avoid conflict and we appease people, we're called false peacemakers. Church, we've done it for too long. Unresolved and unspoken conflicts are one of the greatest tensions in a Christian's life today. I just don't want to deal with that. Maybe if I just shove it under the rug long enough, or I just hold it down in my heart long enough, or if I just smile through the pain, it'll just go away. Why is this one of the greatest tensions in a Christian's life today? It's because most of us hate conflict. Can I get an amen? And then most of us don't know what to do when conflict collides with our life. Ah, what do I do with all this? But if you like it or not, we live in constant conflict. Physically and spiritually. Now, conflict was central to the mission of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Prince of Peace disrupted false peace with the ones around him. Jesus was constantly engaging in conflict, whether it was through challenging the religious leaders and their beliefs. You whitewash tombs, right? You brood of vipers. That's not, hey, bro, we can get along. You can do whatever you want, man. Multiple ways up this mountain, bro. There's one way. The rest are all slippery, and you just fall all the way to the bottom, break something. See, he was constantly engaging in conflict. He did it with religious leaders and their beliefs. He confronted sin. Praise God for that. He questioned the disciples. And he preached the truth, even in the midst of persecution. It took him to the cross. But in all of this tension, Jesus was able to set people free. He was able to show them the true way, and he was able to save their lives and save their souls by willing to rock the boat in order to bring true peace. Jesus still fights peacefully today. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, he wants to do that through his co-laborers. He wants to do that through his church. See, Jesus taught that true peacemaking disrupts false peace. True peace will never come by pretending what is wrong is right. There's six people that love what's being preached today. All y'all just like deer in headlights, like, what is going on? If you're new to the church, I often like it when there's feedback. I preach better that way. You remember when it's quiet, I preach awful. But it's nice when you preach, when you come back and say things. Amen literally means I agree, right? So if you just, like something in you is like, I agree with that. You just use amen. You can do that in church here. This is not the church down the street, okay? Different kind of church. We like a little give and go, right? Amen. Come on. You got it down. If you need help, he will help you. See, true peace will never come by pretending what is wrong is right. To partner with God in what he's doing today, we have to be people who move from being defensive and reactive and passive and riddled with fear. We need to move to being open and vulnerable and honest and having compassionate boldness for reconciliation. Don't fight just to fight. Jesus fought for reconciliation. Fight for reconciliation. So a peacemaker is someone who is willing to resolve both the outer and the inner turmoil in order to establish peace with others and also peace within themselves. See, I think a lot of times that we have problems as Christians is because we're so bad at recognizing ourselves. When's the last time you took inventory of you? When's the last time you evaluated yourself? Don't let somebody on Facebook tell you how goofy you're being, right? You should have already looked in the mirror and realized that, or been on your knees in prayer or read God's word and recognized, I need to humble myself because I am not that person I think I am. Do I need to remind you what the word says? How wicked our hearts are. Who could ever know them? You don't even know them. You don't even know your own heart. That's why when the world says follow your feelings, follow your heart, it's like follow it down into to a cave and might as well just stay there. I mean, what a mess that is. Follow your heart into disaster. Thank you. Appreciate that. No, follow your heart into mass conflict and hate. Oh, thanks, man. Follow your heart into something that you're going to regret on your deathbed. No. Follow the Spirit and check your heart. How wicked our hearts are, who could ever know them? And God says, I do. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us the word, and that's why he's preaching today through me. He loves you enough that he used this guy, right, for you. Amen? That's how much God loves you, and because he recognized where we're at and he recognizes how human we are, we need to check ourselves. So a lot of times, the conflict in our life might not have anything to do with the outside. It had a lot to do with the inside because we need to get peace within ourselves. And the only way you're going to do that is with Christ Jesus and being real and vulnerable and honest about what's going on. Peacemaking will require you to engage in conflict. I want to stop there for a second. Peacemaking, if you're to be a peacemaker, right? That's what we want to be. Peacemaking will require you to engage in conflict. Yay! Thanks, Pastor. It will require you to engage in places and positions and things of tension. Why? To help bring the situation to a solid place, just like Jesus did. So on the other hand, you have a peacekeeper. Those people desire to maintain peace by avoiding conflict and pretending it doesn't exist. They typically give in to the tension or they steer clear of a disagreement or disagreements to keep the others happy. Now we've done that from the pulpit for too long. I just want to make you happy because I got to build my church because I want to get a bigger paycheck, right? I want to wear some more holy jeans. Okay, now I'm just going down in a biker jacket and moving on. I need a new jet. Okay, now I'm really hitting on some things that y'all can get later if you watch Jesus TV. Okay. See, on the other hand, that's what peacekeepers try to do. They avoid conflict. They pretend it doesn't exist. They tickle people's ears. They don't want to get into the tension and steer clear of disagreements to make other people happy. Peacekeepers hate rocking the boat. Therefore, they will sacrifice even their own inner peace. Right? They know that it's wrong, but I don't want to make that person mad. They sacrifice their inner peace to maintain the facade of the peace with other people. Peacekeepers may look like peacemakers, but I assure you, church, there's only one group experiencing true peace. So, Pastor, how can we partner with God right now as Christian American peacemakers in all the conflicts that we are facing right now? Well, it always starts like this, and God's word always preaches this. Faith, love, and hope. But the greatest of these is love. Life. Did I say love? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. The fact is love's the greatest. It always starts with, it's always empowered by, it always flows out of love. And love doesn't look like what you see on TV. Love doesn't look like what you learn in school, online, or in person, whatever's going on right now. Love looks like a peacemaker. How can we partner with God as Christian American peacemakers right now in everything that we're facing in our world today? How can we fight for our country? How as Christian Americans, how as peacemakers, how can we fight for our country? Well, it always starts like this. You got to love other people. You got to love yourself. Right? First off, you can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself. And I'm not meaning a selfish love. I mean recognizing who you are in God and loving yourself enough. You have no business trying to love someone else if you don't know how to love yourself. Right? So you got to love others and you got to love yourself. And then you got to love God enough to disrupt false peace. Peacemaking restores relationships, and it brings harmony. It goes beyond avoiding and separating conflict. It brings restoration. It brings relationships. It brings unity to the world. But you have to confront with love and the truth, or there'll never be real reconciliation, or there'll never be real peace. So if it's biblically right, keep the fight. If it's biblically right, keep the fight. I want to encourage you today, if you're fighting for something that's biblically right, keep the fight. You cannot have true peace from Christ's kingdom with lies and pretense. Lies and the schemes of the enemy must be exposed to the light and replaced with the truth. This is the mature and loving thing to do. But how, church, everybody look at me real quick, because this is where we get in trouble, right? We got the Christians that avoid everything and never talk about anything, right? I don't want to make anybody mad. I'm too afraid. Your boldness is so shook that you don't even love people and love yourself and love God enough that you would even speak out, right? That's what that is. But then you got those, woo, conflict. I'm all about it, right? I'm on Facebook. I dedicated 5 hours today on Facebook to make people know what God is going to say, right? And then I'm going to take a lunch break and I'm going to come back at it, okay? See, how you do what I've just said, how you do what I just said is paramount. So not doing it at all, that's a problem, and it's not like Jesus. Doing it like we've been seeing with anger, frustration, and no restoration in mind is not like Jesus. How you do it is paramount. True peace will never come by pretending what is wrong is right. So peacemaking deals with the underlying issues, and it brings healing and it brings restoration through real love. through real conversations, through the real struggles, through real conflict, to bring real peace. See, that is what peacemaking is. Amen? In the Beatitudes, Jesus explains to us the characteristics we need to display if we're to engage in true peacemaking. We're going to read some of that. So if you opened up earlier to Matthew chapter 5, that's where we're at. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. I'm going to read it in the NLT. Ready? Let's go. Verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Praise God. Verse 4. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Amen. Verse 5. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Now, why do you think that is? See, there's only a people that should ever be trusted with the whole earth, because they realize who's in charge. That's why. A bunch of prideful people running a bunch of things. That's why we get ourselves in trouble, because really, what are their intentions? And who really is getting glorified? Who really is it all about? Okay, verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst, I love the way it says it, for justice. You know God believes in justice, right? Something's wrong, it's wrong, and it must be justified. For they will be satisfied. Amen. And guess what? I'll set somebody free here today that's discouraged about this. If you don't see justice served this side of heaven, let me tell you, we sang a song about it. He's coming on a cloud. He's coming with fire in his eyes. All things will be made right eventually. And just because you might not see it this side of heaven does not mean that justice ain't coming. Okay? It's going to be served. Hallelujah. Okay, next verse. Verse 7. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Praise God. Verse 8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. If your heart's not pure, God can't see you and you can't see him, because God hates sin. Nobody perfect in here. This guy right now preaching, he's not perfect, let me tell you. Anybody close to me can be like, I know that, right? You don't have to do it right now. Save it for the week. Thank you. No, but for real, you lay down everything you are. Be purified by the blood of Jesus. Be forgiven of your sins. Because why? Then you can see God. You can experience God. You can know that's God and not the world, right? Who needs a little more God right now in their life? Anybody? Then lay down the sins of your life to Jesus Christ. Ask for his forgiveness. Turn from your sins and you will see God. You will. You'll experience him. You'll feel him. Things will make sense. This sermon will be better, right, for you, because you'll be getting more of that. You'll be hungry and you'll want more and more of God. And he will shake your life and he'll shake all that junk right off. And you'll be purified and you'll experience him. Amen. Verse 9. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. In verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what? Say it loud, church. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, before I jump to that next thing, I don't know why I keep hitting on Facebook, but maybe somebody's getting purged. Right now, the fact of the matter that you have people that don't believe the same things that you do, and when you post something and somebody gets mad, it's not the time to clean house of my friends because they don't agree with me. How are you ever going to reach them for the gospel? You just got rid of them because you got mad at them. Welcome to reality. Welcome to life, right? I mean, if they're doing threats on you, that's a little different. But if they're not agreeing with you, it's not all about agreeing. If we're going to huddle up in church all the time, nobody's ever going to know the gospel. Verse 10, that's for you. God blesses those who are persecuted on Facebook for doing right. Praise God. They don't like what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. I can't wait, right? I turn my 5 hours and my lunch break into 2 hours and crying at lunch. Okay, whatever. Whatever you got to do to fight through that, do it. Okay? Because for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Who do you care about more? God's opinion or people's opinion? Who do you care more about? The plan of God or the plan of man? Who do you care more about? Loving others of reconciliation and telling them the truth, or just making people feel good and ignoring and getting rid of all your friends that don't agree with you? Right? Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Jesus tells us that true peacemaking, which is doing the right thing and following Jesus, comes with persecution and it comes with conflict. But you will be blessed by it. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus brought disruption in order to bring true peace. We're going to celebrate Christmas in a little bit, and oftentimes we think about him as a baby in a manger. Oh, precious little, you know, 6 pound, 11 ounce baby Jesus, right? Head full of hair. He's so beautiful, right? He didn't have blue eyes either. Most people from where he's from have brown eyes, okay? Brown hair, dark skin. That's how it is, okay? All right, you can take that off your wall later. He's holding that lamb with the beautiful locks of Fabio with the blue eyes. That's who drew that anyway? I don't know. Right? Come hither, lambs. I can't believe it's not butter. I did that last week. I'm not doing that again this week. See, Jesus came as a baby in a manger, and yes, it was precious, and yes, it's the greatest gift that we've ever received here on planet Earth, but Jesus, as that gift, came to disrupt all the false peace in the world. The Prince of Peace wrapped in a manger, wrapped in those clothes that we will sing about, oh, Silent Night, and all these wonderful songs that makes everybody cry, including me. Like, I love these songs. I love the fact that God loves us enough that he'd send his love and wrap it in flesh, put it in a manger, but he came to bring a sword. He came to separate true peace and fake peace. And when he did that, and he came to the world, and he preached the gospel, and he loved people, and he stood in the face of evil and the plots of the enemy all the way to the cross and all the way out of that empty grave, Jesus said, I'm going to continue that peacemaking. I'm going to continue breaking that false peace in the world. I'm going to continue that through my church by empowering them, because my Father's going to send another, the Holy Spirit, to empower the church to continue what I have already done. Right? He brought restoration, he brought healing, he brings salvation, and then he says, now, take what I've done and continue this and bring it to the world. But you can't do that if you're going to just try to keep the peace. Do you remember accepting Christ, how your life was collided with conflict? Do I follow myself? Do I follow the world? Do I follow the devil? Do I follow these pleasures? Or do I follow Jesus? Who do I choose? See, Jesus brought disruption in order to bring true peace. Can I get an amen if you love true peace? Amen. Jesus did not avoid conflict to appease people. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, come and follow me. You know, I've done all these things in my life. I've served you since I've been a child. I've done these things, right? Right? I've served and I've done all these things and everything looks good on the outside, but on the inside, I'm actually in love with my money more than I'm in love with you, God. And this is how he proved it. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, give it to all these places, give it to wherever you need to give it, and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler turned and walked away. And did Jesus say, no, just give me a tithe. No, you can change a little bit of your life. No, just give me half, right? We'll work this out. Let's do a payment plan. Okay. All right, yes, put his little hat on. Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to calculate. Next 5 years, I'll be here in 3.5 years, and then I'm going to go. And no, Jesus didn't do none of that. Jesus did not avoid conflict by appeasing people. Jesus did not ignore tensions or differences. See, Jesus loved people enough to bring true peace by fighting peacefully. Jesus came as the ultimate mediator who made peace between God and man. Jesus came as the ultimate mediator who made peace between all people groups. But let me tell you, church, it was hard. Jesus, for him, it was hard. And it hurt. And it was painful. But church, it was right. It was right. Because true peace will never come by pretending what is wrong is right. So I want to ask you today, I'm going to close here in a moment. Are you fighting peacefully? Are you fighting like Christ? I don't mean picking fights. I hope this is getting across today. Don't be lethargic in your Christianity because you don't want to make people feel bad or mad or whatever. But don't be a tyrant and make everyone mad because you don't know how to place your words or your anger, or you don't know the fruits of the Spirit called self-control, right? Last one. Don't make it the last one in your list because it needs to move up a few, okay? Let's move it up. Be like Jesus. Fight peacefully. Are you standing up for God's truth with love and with strength? If you didn't hear it out there digitally, I heard, yes! Little voice. Yes! Disagreements don't have to be disrespectful. Y'all heard me. There ain't nobody on planet Earth that should understand this better than Christians, who should not be, Christians should be leading this. Have a disagreement. It's okay. Anybody been married? It's bound to happen, maybe on the daily. Praise God. Now, see, we don't like to fight, but the problem is, unless you have that disagreement or unless you have that conversation, you can't walk into reconciliation. We can't walk into this. If we're both here and here and we never talk about it, guess what? In that subject, we're going to keep on walking. But if we come together, and even if it causes a little bit of conflict, you don't have to be disrespectful in your conflict. Hard thing to do, but we got to work on it, right? You come together, and if you come together, you can be unified in it and you can walk together. Okay? But you have to have that first. Otherwise, you're just going to keep on walking. That's what's happened. Why is not every church right now full of people? And it's not just COVID. We're not willing to have that conversation, fight peacefully to bring their reconciliation together by stepping out and being bold about what God says is right and what God says is wrong, because you love that person so much, you must tell them, you must stand in the way of the evil, you must stand in the way of the things that they don't understand. Quit being mad that sinners are sinning. Hello, you've been there, you've done that. Right? They're sinners. That's how they act. Love them, teach them, show them. Don't act like them also. That doesn't separate you from them, right? Okay? So you gotta love them enough. Fight peacefully. Man, I understand that you're walking through that. I understand that you have that idea. But can I share something with you? Because I used to have some of them thoughts before too. Right? Let me share with you how I feel. And then you put it on there. Maybe we need to ask more permission. Instead of just bulge in and kick a door down. Ah, you're going to listen to me, right? God's way is the only way. Yeah, and it's true, but they don't want to hear you if you don't love them. They don't care what you have to say unless they know that you care for them. You've heard it before. It's true. Are you standing up for God's truth with love and with strength? See, disagreements don't have to be disrespectful. Your honesty can breed harmony. can. Fight peacefully for the glory of God. It won't be easy, but it will be right. Christian Americans, if that's you, say amen. When we partner with God's policies, when we partner with God in his characteristics, when we partner with God in his actions, we will then experience his presence and his power. Amen? You're not going to do it on your own. You won't do it right on your own. How about that? I don't know what's going to happen in our country here in our very near future. I don't know. But what I do know is this. There's one way we can partner with God through it all. We can be his peacemakers. I want to leave you with a verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Okay? Everything you've done to this day, may it line up to that first word right there, okay? All that hot mess you've been messing up. Just, oh, man. Instead. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Church, be peacemakers, don't be peacekeepers. Will you stand? Worship team, will you come? Hallelujah. If that spoke to you today, will you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. That's the Hawaiian way to say hallelujah. 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 And you don't praise like this, you praise like that. Okay. Peacemakers, go out today in love, strength, and boldness to preach the gospel. If somebody's going to unfriend you because you spoke the truth in love, remember the very beginning, I gave a verse. If it is at any opportunity that you have, anything you can do at all on your end, me, live at peace with all people. So if you share the truth in love and you did everything to live at peace with that person, it's not your fault if they choose to walk away. Okay? It's not your fault. But if you acted like a tyrant, yeah, it's your fault. Apologize. I did not show God's love to you by getting angry in my situation and spouting out, blah, 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 right? I just, online vomit, right? You just, blah, you just online, just, or face-to-face, people getting in arguments. No matter who you voted for, no matter who you want as president, no matter what is facing right now, if it's biblically right, keep the fight. Amen? Let me pray for you. And we're going to go out into that breezy, cold day and fight the fight, even if our hair is messed up. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. You're a good God. Even when we're not. And when we are weak, it says in your word you are strong, but we also experience that. Right now, we acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge our weakness as humans to do and to say what is right. And sometimes to not do anything at all. But I pray, just like your word said today, if it's biblically right, God, will you teach us how to keep the fight? And I heard it this morning as well through Brent as he was prophesying, singing, and he says, when we have to stand, we got to stand. And I remember that God's armor in Ephesians chapter 6 doesn't have anything to protect us from behind, because we were never meant to run away from a fight. Sometimes we advance and sometimes we stand. But we always are called to lock arms and fight the good fight of faith. So that's what we do right now. We lock arms together spiritually in this place and all over. Anybody watching, anybody that is listening to this word today, we want to lock arms. And God, we want to follow with what you are doing in our world today. May your will be done on earth as your will is being done in heaven. So whatever is taking place in heaven, we call forth right now that it will take place here on earth. God, even if we don't understand it, may you give us some sort of hint. May we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit so we can fight the good fight of faith right now. We want to fight peacefully. We want to bring true peace to this world that is lost, broken, and hurting. We have neighbors, we have friends, we have people that all over the nation that we know that are in danger, that are struggling, that don't understand, and that are lost. Will you use us right now in whatever capacity you see fit? And as we come together, we promise you this. And if you want to agree with this, I'm going to ask you to say amen after it. That means I agree. We want to promise you this, God. When a fight comes our way and it's biblically right to stand up, we will do it to the best of our ability with love. Amen. God, that's what we'll do. Going forward, we want to fight peacefully. This is the season of holidays for us here in America. We shouldn't be thankful just on a Thursday in November, and we shouldn't just celebrate the birth of our Savior and Messiah and Emmanuel and all these things that we call you, God, and we give you names. We shouldn't just do that in December at the end, God. But this is the season that we recognize all these things that are going on, and whatever capacity we can do right now, online, in face-to-face, digitally, whatever it is that we have our influence in, God, may you use us as peacemakers, that we will bring the Prince of Peace in all conversations, in all things. Open our eyes spiritually to see what the enemy is doing so we can expose it to the light of the world. God, may we do that. We give that to you right now, and I just pray from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, may we feel the anointing, your presence, to do what we've been called to do. May you give us the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit to step out when it's uncomfortable in these conflicts, but to always bring it back to you, God, and always bring it back to love, real love. We love you, praise you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Let's worship.